Let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And I want to remind us of that this morning in this message, God's Word. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 46. Go to Psalm 46 with me. The title I've given this message is Faith in the Face of Fear, or Faith to Face Our Fears. And I recognize that thousands of sermons, there have been thousands of sermons with that title. But most of them have been preached by men who say things like this: God didn't want that to happen, that God didn't want bad things to happen. This is a message of real faith for real sinners, or real people in the face of real fears. This is a message of real faith. I'm not talking about philosophy, I'm not talking about doctrine, I'm not talking about psychology, I'm not talking about something you need to believe, and I'm talking about God. Who is God? This is real faith. The faith of God's elect. Faith delivered to the saints. Precious faith to those who have obtained, given this precious faith to believe God. Believe His Word. Believe His Son. Real faith in God, who is God, to face our fears. And we all have them. Real fears. He or she is a liar who says they do not have fear. David, who wrote this. David is the one who wrote this. God had him write. To allay the fears, to quiet, to quell the fears of God's people. David had real fears. Psalm 56, he said, what time I'm afraid. Read Psalm 55, 56, 57. David was afraid. He wasn't afraid to admit that. Though he was a man of great faith and great courage, he had real fears. Do you not think, as an 18-year-old boy going out to meet that 8-foot warrior, that he was somewhat not afraid? Sure he was. But he encouraged himself how? In God. So this battle's not mine. Saul had his best men. King Saul had his best men, all of whom were warriors. Not just one man, Goliath, but many, hunting David like an animal. Do you not think he was afraid? Yeah, he said so. He said so. The disciples were often afraid, weren't they? Was Paul afraid? Paul the apostle, was he afraid when he was in the ocean, hanging on a piece of driftwood all night long? Do you not think he was afraid? Somewhat. Had to get through it. So I'm not talking about, when we talk about faith, I'm not talking about something that you do. I'm talking about someone we need to trust. Whether we trust him or not, he's taking care of us. So here's the thing. To face our fears. To not be afraid, to trust our Lord. We have real fears. We have worries for ourselves, for our families. We have real foes to face. The real world that we live in, full of real evil. It's real. And these enemies, David throughout the Psalms spoke more than any one of his enemies. He was surrounded by formidable. Is that how you say the word? Formidable. Formidable. Who cares? You know what I'm saying. Foes. Real foe. Paul said we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Didn't he? He said, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places that we are no match for. None of us. No one. There's only one. So this psalm begins where we need to begin. God is. God is. Oh, what a message that is. This psalm begins where the whole book of God began. That God is. Now he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. I'm here to declare unto you this morning, as I want to do and try to do every time we meet together. This is the truth. This is will allay your fear. This will give you hope and peace. Okay? God is God. He's not trying to be God. He is God. God is reigning. Say unto the heathen. Y'all are a bunch of Gentiles. Bunch of heathen. Okay? Or word. Say unto them, thy God reigneth. Oh, can't say that enough, can we? Especially today. Perilous times we live in. Dangerous times. Fearful times. We worry about our children, our grandchildren, all around us, don't we? God is God. Be still. This may be our next memory verse. Be still and know that I am God. He is God. When our Lord is after a great storm and when the Lord appeared to his disciples in the very end and they were afraid, they seen a spirit and he said, be not afraid, it is I. It is I. Whatever it is, God is. Okay? God is the first cause of it. God is in control of it. God is our God. And we're His people if you believe Him, if you trust Him, if He's revealed Himself to you. God is your God. He is your God. What does that mean? It's good. It's all good. Need not fear. Fear God. Nothing else you need to fear. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Whose refuge? Look at verse 4. It talks about the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High God. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. Talking about His church, about His bride. His bride. I love my bride, my wife. And I endeavor to take care of her and provide for her and protect her. I do. I love her. How much more? Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I know I'd lay down my life for you, man. I know I would. I know I would cast my body in front of a bullet or whatever for you. I know I would. Wouldn't hesitate. Well, Christ did. He laid down His life for His bride. Who or what can happen to us if the Lord, our God, is our husband? Nothing. Except what He wills. God is our refuge. Verse 7. Who is this for? Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Who is this? The God of Jacob. Are you Jacob? Oh, happy. Maybe this will be our next verse. Psalm 146:5. Happy. Blessed. Happy is the man whose God is the God of Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his head. Who's Jacob? Who's Jacob? It's not that Jacob back there. It's Jacob Montgomery. Who's Jacob? Well, Jacob was a sinner. That's what his name means. Cheats or planter. Jacob was a foolish, fallible, fallen, fickle, finite sinner. That's all he was. Wasn't some great man, but God loved him. He said, Jacob have I loved. Why? Because he did. Oh, so now, who's Jacob? He's God's son. He's God's son. Loved by God, chosen by God, in his covenant. He met the Lord. Jacob met the Lord. All of God's sons are going to meet him. He's going to come to him. He's going to come to him. The time of Jacob's greatest fear. He's running. Running from his enemy. But God came to where he was and wrestled with him. A man wrestled with him that he didn't know. He didn't know who he was. John, when this was over, he knew who he was. This is the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ came to him. Like the Lord does in the preaching of the gospel, will come to all of his chosen ones, his loved ones, his bride will come and wrestle with them and lay hold of them through the preaching of the word and break them and change them. Change their walk. Change their mind. Change their heart. Change everything about them. Now, they believe God and he changes their name. Prince with God. Son of God. And God does everything for Jacob. Everything he does. He's known by that name more than any name in the scripture. Do you know that? I'm the God of Jacob. Fear not. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, anybody? Shall not be consumed. Isn't that good news? Jacob. Happy is he that the God of Jacob. God is our refuge. A very present help in time of trouble. A very present help. How present is our God? Presence. We're in his hands. We can't see him. But we live and move and have our being in him. He's never with. The last words our Lord told his disciples before he left this earth was, lo, I'm with you always. Always. Trust in the Lord at all times, you people. Pour out your heart unto him. God is a refuge for us. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That's what this psalm is going to tell us about. Read on. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Brethren, it will be. It will be. Don't take refuge in this earth, in this world, in the things of this world. Don't take, because God is going to destroy it. Does that make you fear? Don't. Got a new earth. If you don't know the Lord, yes, you should fear. Read on. Verse 2. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and they shall. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Whenever you see the word Selah, now you know this. It's a musical term, isn't it? Pause. It's a stop, isn't it? It's a pause. Means quit playing. Wait. Before you play another note. Think about what you just read. Stop. He's going to tell us here in verse 10, be still. Too often we read something and we forget what we read because we read too fast and we go on to stop. Quite often throughout Selah, it's really not meant to be read. It tells us to just be silent. Hold on here. Stop. Think about this. They just told us everything is going to be wiped out. Everything. Earth and the works thereof. Everything. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. This is not the ranting and the raving of some long bearded fellow on the corner of the street in the city saying, prepare to meet thy God. By the way, that's a scripture verse, isn't it? Prepare to meet thy God. But this is not the ranting and raving of some wild fool who saying the world is ending. This is the word of the Son of God. Okay? Hebrews 12. Did you turn there? Turn that? All right, verse 26 says, whose voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more. Now, when there have been many earthquakes over the year, there have been many floods, one worldwide flood that most people do not believe in. Tornadoes recently. And we had friends that lived in the Nashville area. We called. We check on them. Who did that? Scripture says he hath his way in the whirlwind. God did that. None of our friends were touched by it. However, when a hurricane came through Mexico years ago, many of our brethren lost their homes. Didn't they? Who did that? God did that. Right? All right. He says, once more, verse 26, I shake not the earth only, but heaven. Everything. And this word once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made. That is this material world and everything. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What things? Unseen thing. An unseen kingdom. A new heaven. A new earth. A new world. Verse 28. So receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Our God's a consuming fire. Godly fear. That is, we fear God and not man. Let me just quote this to you. Isaiah 8. I think about this all the time. Isaiah chapter 8. Listen. Don't fear their fear. This is God speaking to his children. Isaiah 8:12. Don't fear ye their fear. Whatever men fear, don't fear that. Didn't our Lord Jesus Christ say that? Fear not. Several times. Matthew 10. Fear not them which kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. Fear him. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let him be your fear and be your dread. He shall be for a sanctuary. He's the refuge. They either take refuge in Egypt or this world, the leaders of it. You're taking refuge in a place that's going to be destroyed, the people. It says we need not fear. I'm talking to God's people. God's people. Our God is unmovable, unchangeable. His truth is too. All right, look at our text, verse 4. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. There's a river. It makes glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High God. There was a river spoken of in the garden. A river with four heads, if you've read it. All right, there's a river in the last book in the Bible, the last chapter, 22. A river. It says, flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there was a river in the garden with four heads. And in the end, there's a river flowing from the throne, from the Lamb. What is that? Four heads. It's His Word. It's His truth. His gospel. Ever flowing their thirst to assuage. River, the water of life in the garden. God, His blessed word, His blessed promises of His exceeding precious promises, His love, His mercy, His grace flowing forever, always running deep, a river, a deep river of pure water of life. Four heads, what's that? The four gospels. Four gospels. The streams thereof make us glad. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. A river. Streams thereof make us glad. The truth, the Word of God, the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. See, that's why we do what we do. Preach the Word for our fear. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of His church. His church is a little tabernacle. His little pavilion. We saw that in Psalm 31, didn't it? Pavilion. Psalm 27, Psalm 31, a little pavilion. It's not in these monoliths, these mega money-making, money-changing places. It's in these little pavilions here and there where His truth is preached, where His Christ is preached. She shall not be moved, though the heathen rage and the world wants to get rid of them, cast their bands asunder. She shall not be moved. Read that, verse 5. God's in the midst of her. Christ said, where two or three again, I'm in the midst. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her, and that right early. What's that mean? You're going to make a short work of this time. Real soon. You'll see. Real soon. Real soon you're going to see Him whom your soul loves. Have Cecil smile. Wait, just hang on. You'll see. You'll see. You'll see. Verse 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. Earth melted. The heathen raged. The kingdom were moved. Like Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. They're raging at His sovereignty, at His wrath and His judgment. The wrath of God revealed from heaven against these things. And man is angry. They're raging at His truth. They don't like it. No matter. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now listen, this is for God's people. I'm preaching now to God's people. To allay our fear. Are you with me? Alright, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. God is with us. And many people quote Romans 8:31, I believe it is. God before us. I've seen it on the back of semi-trailers. Well, God is not for everyone. God is against some people. If God is for you, it means everything's for you. If God is against you, it doesn't matter who's for you. But 2 Kings, I'll tell you in a minute who. Well, I've already been telling you who God is for. But God's people, sons of Jacob. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Some of you know this story. But there was a young man, a servant of Elisha, verse 15, the servant, the man of God, risen early, he went out. Behold, a host, the enemy, compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant ran back in the house to tell Elisha, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? He was scared to death, wasn't he? What did Elisha say? Fear not. Verse 16. Fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. They were surrounded by the enemy. All right? Elisha's servant. Oh no, what are we going to do? Lord, open his eyes. Elisha wasn't afraid. Fear not. Elisha here is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who kept telling his disciples, fear not, fear not, fear not. One time a king sent his 50 best men, the previous chapter, wasn't it? Sent his 50 best men to take one man, Elisha. They couldn't get him. God killed him. Sent 50 more. They couldn't get him. God killed him. Sent 50 more. Finally, those 50 men said, "I'm just standing before a little preacher." I said, "Your God is God." Well, this is one man, and this represents our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "No man taketh my life from me, and no man taketh your life from you." You hear that? That's what he sent his disciples at. He said, "Not a hair of your head shall fall to the ground without your heavenly Father." He said, "You know the birds in the forest? Not one. A sparrow? A house wren? Not one falls to the ground that your Father didn't ordain. Not one. And every hair on your head is numbered." That's what he said to his people. "Fear not." What's wrong with us? They don't believe him. You just don't believe him. But it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the truth. It just keeps us in fear. He's still God. The Lord opened his eyes and he saw that the mountains and the hills were surrounded by the enemy. But he said, "They that are with us are more than they that be with them." And I know people like to quote this, but it's wonderful anyway. "He that is in you is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." It's a shame that so many abuse that scripture. No matter, it's true. If you're in Christ, Christ in you. Oh my. But you know what Elisha died from? Elisha died. Sickness. Cancer. Probably. Something like that. Pneumonia. Something. Elisha died from sickness. Well, how? God didn't want that to happen. Yes, he did. Or it wouldn't have happened. God said it. He said, remember our verse? "See now that I am he. There's no God with me. I kill. I make alive. I wound. I heal. I am the Lord. That's my name. There's no God with me. There's no little g with me. There's nobody reigning over anything. No one has in control of anything but me." Trust him. Trust Elisha. As I said, I'm not preaching a doctrine. You can't find any peace in a doctrine, in philosophy. I'm not just trying to change your mind. We read in Psalm 91. Turn there real quickly. Psalm 91. Brother Mac read to us Psalm 91. And perhaps you've been reading this wrongly. I believe I have. And it says in verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee." Verse 10, "No evil shall befall thee." He's not saying you're never going to be afraid. What he's saying is, thou shalt not. Like when he said, "Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not." Don't be afraid. You hear me? It's a command. Don't be afraid. Don't fear their fear. We are afraid. Why? We don't believe him. We don't trust him. Does that make sense to you? Thou shalt not. That troubles me sometimes because I am afraid. What he's saying is, fear not, I'm with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, I'm your God. Thou shalt not. The pestilence that walketh in the darkness, the arrows that fly. Was David afraid of arrows? There were 10,000. 1,000 fell over here. And that's what he's talking about, arrows from the Almighty. 10,000 over here and 1,000 at thy right hand. And for the longest time, not one arrow came nigh him. One day one did. An arrow hit David. And they thought he died. Who did it? God did. Josiah was one of the greatest kings in all of Scripture. Young Josiah. He's the one that Jeremiah wrote about in Lamentations. He was lamenting the death of Josiah, who's a picture of Christ, Josiah. Josiah was hit by an arrow and died from it. Jonathan, David's dear friend, was killed by a sword. Who did that? Who did that? You hear me? God did it. James has hit it off. Who did that? Paul has hit it off. Who did that? God's Son was crucified with wicked hands. Who did that? God did. See, I don't understand. You need to. You need to understand that He's God. There is no other. And whatever it is, it's the Lord. Job did. He said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Didn't it? It's all for a purpose. But he said in Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you. Oh, men mean it for evil. There's evil all around us. Like what they did to Joseph. Was that evil? It sure was. Was it terrible? It sure was. Cast, hated by his brethren, cast into a pit, finally ended up in prison. Joseph was evilly treated, wasn't he, by men. But what Joseph said in the end is what we need to realize. Men meant it for evil, but God did it for good. You hear me? Hey, Jacob, are you listening? No evil shall befall you. All things work together for good. You believe that? Fear not. My brother was killed by a bullet. My sister died from cancer. Your husband died from cancer. Your sister died of a car wreck. Who did that? God did. Your son died. Who did that? God did. The world can't understand that. And they can't understand how you could take any peace or refuge in a God like that. I don't understand how they can take peace in any other God. If God didn't want it to happen, why didn't He stop it? I don't trust a God like that. I trust a God I can't fully understand. I trust a God whose ways are past finding out. I trust a God who is God, who does not give an account of His matters to anyone. A God who does as He will, according to His will, and His will is perfect. His will is all wise. His will is all good. And nothing and no one can thwart it. And if you're in Christ, this God has promised everybody who trusts His Son, no evil shall befall you. Trust me. Look to me, He said. Nothing and no one lifts a hand against my people until I say so. And then when I do, it's just the means of bringing my people home. I don't want him to die. Does he know the Lord? Isn't that the main thing? Does she know the Lord? We can't think of it as being a blessing. My brother at 21 years old. Oh, the deepest, darkest trial my parents probably ever went through up to that time. 21. But he knew the Lord. Well, what did the Lord do? Took him home. He didn't have to live 50 more years in this present evil world. What mercy. What grace. What love. What kindness. Fear not. No evil. That arrow was sent by God, sent straight to Josiah's heart, but sent Josiah straight to God. That cancer that took your loved one, a brother or a sister who knows the Lord, that cancer took that person home to the Lord. Sent by the loving Father of that person who loved them more than he, than you love your own. Infinitely more. See, it was great love. That bullet, that arrow, that car, that cancer was the love of God. You believe that? Come now. That's what he said in Isaiah. Let's reason together. Look at verse 8. Come now. Come. Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he's made in the earth. Do you not look around? Look around. Look at all he's done. There's another place, I forget where it is, says, do you not see what I've done to Egypt? Do you not see? Read Hebrews 11. Go back and read it again. When you're tempted, when you're fearful and worried and all that, go back and read Psalm 90. It tells us the shortness of our time and the troubles we'll go through. Psalm 91. Read them all the time. All the time. Whenever you start being afraid, go back and read those two Psalms. Hebrews 11. We've got a great cloud of witnesses who went through this same world, through the same things you went through, the same heartaches, the same trials, the same fears, the same loss of children and loved ones and so forth. Read it. Read it. Hebrews 11. Oh, the terrible trials that they went through. But God sent them all. And the end is good. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Oh, that they were wise and would consider this their latter end. Behold what desolation. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still. You know how many wars there have been? You know, my father was in World War II, and some of you were, and then there was Korea, and Brother Henry was down the foxhole in Korea. He told me what that was like. Brother Henry Sawyer told me what that was like, having real bullets fly over your head. Somebody really wants you dead with a gun. That's fear. Did he make it, Roberta? Did he make it out of that foxhole? He ain't in a foxhole now. He's sitting on high above all this strife.